The toy bar is open. Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your host and toy bar flies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys! This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys at www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Welcome, Dave Draper!
Hey!
I
was just watching you do yoga right before show started. Wow. I was mesmerized.
Your enthusiasm was about as appalling as Carrie's was when we recorded Married to the Collection this week. Because I said, welcome, my wife, Carrie Duvall! And she went, hi. And I was like, and I was telling her, I was like, Dave's always excited on Dave and Duvall's when I do that. I'm like, you should be too.
Why would you lie to your... Oh, smooth.
Oh, I know.
Just break my house.
Why would I... I didn't lie to my wife. You're usually much more enthusiastic. Okay, maybe not entirely that enthusiastic, but usually you have a little bit more energy and pep.
Yeah.
Well.
I'd like to say that this was a draining weekend, but that would be a lie.
Well, apparently you...
a cruel lie.
You about destroyed your esophagus.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Hey, kids, when you're at a hibachi grill and the chef dumps a piping hot piece of onion in your plate, you put it in your mouth and you're like, wow, this is really going to burn my mouth badly.
Don't swallow it.
Don't swallow it.
Spit it out.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if the table is surrounded by people and they're all going to look at you funny.
What? And what did you do, Dave?
Oh, I swallowed.
Yeah.
Oh, I swallowed. Yeah.
Way to go, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's times where I think you're one of the most intelligent people I've ever met, and then there's times like that.
I never get why people are impressed with me. I've never understood it. I'm always like, have you met me?
And then you
have you spent more than 5 minutes with me?
And then you swallow a boiling piece of onion, and it's like, well, Dave's regressed back to four.
Four.
It's still good when you eat it. Ow.
I was like, it's really hot. I got to swallow this right away or I'll burn my mouth.
My
reputation for being a genius is vastly overrated. That's all I got to say.
Fair enough.
And to be fair, I'm not the one who's ever spread those rumors.
True.
I've always been very open about the fact that...
True. Fair enough.
I am, in fact, an idiot.
Aw. We got lots of toy news to talk about.
Okay. If we must...
Yes, we must.
Mm.
I know.
Yeah.
This one may not be exactly a piece of toy news per se, but...
Man, you're just lying all over the place this week.
Well...
Lying McLierstein.
Well, I mean, it technically features the Mattel Batman 66 toy line on the cover of it.
Squeaking by technicality.
One of the San Diego Comic-Con exclusives from DC Comics and Mattel happens to be the Batman 66 number 1... which basically will be all new stories portraying the Cape Crusader. I know, right? And all the characters from the classic Batman television series as they were featured and appeared.
Yeah, it's the 66 Batman TV show, the comic.
Yeah, basically. It's kind of neat.
No, it's neat. And then the whole point is that this variant cover uses the toys that Mattel's making for the 66 Batman TV show.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's a neat little cover. It's got them climbing the wall, and you've got the various villains popping out, and you can see the Joker by the Batmobile.
Look out, Batman. Joker going to steal the Batmobile.
Yeah, this is one of those kind of con exclusives that I actually think is a cool idea and a good idea, because it's just a simple thing. Like, you can, you know, if you really want the comic, you can get the comic. Isn't it a digital download thing normally? For these comics?
I mean, they offer digital downloads at times.
Some weird thing. But point being, it's just a neat little variant. So if you go to Comic-Con, it's a neat thing to pick up and bring home.
Right, exactly.
And I'll elaborate on that a little bit later because we're going to hit another couple of items.
Gotcha.
From Comic-Con.
Moving on. Not something that Dave and I normally collect or talk about, but...
I know DOS is a huge fan.
DOS is a huge fan of the SH Figure Arts line, basically, that have been out from... Bluefin and Tamahashi Nations from Japan and here in the States. But they did announce that an upcoming SH Figure Arts exclusive, which will be a Japan Tamahashi web exclusive, but there's no info on a U.S. release yet, but I'm sure it'll happen, is they have shown images of the armored Red Power Ranger, the Red Sentai Ranger, from the original, well, from our version that we know of Power Rangers. I'm not an expert on the Sentai, so I couldn't tell you what series he actually was from. I'm sure someone will correct us, but that's fine. But the fact that they've been doing a lot of the classic Power Ranger characters in that, you know, at least for us here in the States, I know there's a series of there's a Red Ranger, a Green Ranger, and a Pink Ranger coming out just for the States, or I think the Pink Ranger's just for the States release.
Okay.
So they've been doing a lot more of these that have that are just, and of course the armored Red Ranger. Basically, he's the Red Ranger and he has the Green Ranger's armor, like his chest armor on.
Sure, why not?
And they did that in the series, but he comes with the his the Red Ranger comes with a sword, it comes with the red knife, and then he comes with the dragon dagger, the Dragon Zord dagger. It's kind of cool.
Okay.
I've got a couple of the figure arts. Power Rangers from when they showed up at Toys R Us. So I don't know, but
it's a couple years ago.
A couple years ago now. I bought both of those when they came out, the gold and the red. I can't remember what series that was from. But I like them. They're cool. I mean, I don't have them displayed because I didn't want to leave them out of the box because I'm like, oh, these guys are, I'm afraid they're going to fall on something and just snap into two because it just feels at times like they're really fragile. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me playing with them, but I like how they move. They got some very neat and unique articulation, like how their shoulders can come out and their hips can come out a little bit. It's really weird. It's like their hips have ball joints on their ball joints.
Hmm. They used to have, I think for some Marvel Legends, they had that kind of shoulder.
Yeah.
A shoulder joint like that, at least. That was like a double joint. Yeah. Kinda.
Couple like that. But, of course, after watching Das put up his review of Vegeta. Jesus, I cannot talk today, ladies and gentlemen. Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z. And I watched that going, I need to go pre-order the Sailor Moon and Sailor Mercury before they announce the rest of them. And I went to
did.
I went and pre-ordered Sailor Moon and Sailor Mercury. So be sure to look for reviews of that later this year when they come out, because I will review the poop out of those because it's one of my favorite animes. I like that show and I like the characters. It's one of the only animes I think I own all of, like on DVD.
Okay.
That I went out of my way to buy the big special editions they released in the States that were really limited edition, and they were like $270 a piece when they first came out or something. Wow. Crazy. Yeah. I bought those a long time ago. But the only line I have all of, though. But so, yeah, I went and ordered those. I was like, dang it, Das. I told him, too. I was like, dang you for making these look awesome, more awesome than they already are. Dang it.
I know he's talking about maybe canceling Grayskull to, like, be able to afford some of these.
Oh, yeah. No, we talked about
it. I'm like, do it. Yeah. All the cool kids are doing it.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, just get rid of it.
Bail.
Nobody cares. I'm like, the hardcore
master. There's no excitement.
No, there's not. The hardcore master fans are still going to buy it.
I don't know, man. Everyone I know is bailing on.
Well, yeah, I've seen a couple of hardcore Masters fans cancel theirs too, going, I don't want it.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I don't want it. So
that was one you should have done right or not done at all.
Very true. Something that I'm sure will make Dave happy that NECA finally
Ooh,
announced.
Yes. Oh, I think I made some sort of squeaking noise when I first heard
it. Oh, did
this.
You?
Oh yeah.
NECA finally announced that a figure they showed. Well, we saw
years ago,
about 5 years ago,
long time ago.
I saw it when
I'm pretty
first.
Sure we were at PCN.
I don't know if it was when we were at PCN or if it
no,
was.
No, I think it was.
I remember seeing it when I first went to Toy Fair with Figures.com, and they had it. NECA had it in their booth.
Yeah, it might have been before that. I mean, I've been wanting this figure forever.
Yeah, and NECA could never do it because they couldn't justify the cost of doing a figure this big. Well. This year, with the pre-sale success of the Ed 209 figure and the Alien Queen, which are both about the same size as this figure, if not bigger,
okay,
because and the fact that their quarter scale figure line has sold tremendously well, like all of those figures out of the line, the Iron Man, the Captain America, the Superman coming out, all of those have either sold or pre-sold amazingly well enough to where NECA cannot justify doing these bigger figures because they know there's a demand for them. And this, they know there's been a demand for about 5 years now for this
figure.
In
fact, there has.
So NECA finally announced that they're finally releasing the Spider Gremlin from
Yay.
Gremlins 2.
Yay! Sweet.
So, yep, 10 inches tall, 15 inches across, and 12 inches deep. Where are you going to put that?
No idea. You know what? It's a problem I can't wait to have.
Yep, fair enough. Let's see. Features a hinge jaw, ball-jointed shoulders, elbows, and wrists. Eight massive spider legs that are also articulated in three places each. In total, over 30 points of articulation.
Pre-order so, down already.
Also includes a support stand to help balance and display him in desired poses. So,
sweet.
Yes. So I kind of figured as soon as you saw that you were going to go and immediately pre-order that.
Oh, yeah.
What was the cost on it? Do you remember?
No idea. Don't care.
Dave was like, I don't care what it costs. Just take my money now.
Take my money now.
He is very cool, though, and I remember seeing, like I said, I remember seeing him years ago and thinking, that's awesome.
That's probably my favorite thing that came out of that second movie.
Yep.
Because it was just such an awesome, that and Brain were my two, yes. I love those characters.
And just the fact that NECA's probably released just about every unique Gremlin from Gremlins 2 now, I think.
Pretty close.
Yeah, because this was the only other holdout, major holdout, because we got the electric Gremlin, even though he was just like a piece of...
Well, and we got him in his Gremlin form. Don't forget, we got, because he's a, it's not Stripe, Mohawk.
Right.
Mohawk becomes Spider Gremlin, so we Mohawk.
Right. So, pretty cool. Yeah, I knew Dave was going to be excited. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, Dave.
Oh, wow.
What's
that? Okay, so he's expensive.
$100?
No, $47.99.
Oh, well, he's not that bad.
No.
Wow. Not that bad at all.
I did not realize it was that much.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, well.
Yeah, he had to be happy.
True. Moving on to some other Comic-Con exclusives. We got to see Yes Anime is going to release a 1/6 scale super alloy Batman designed by Jim Lee. Anyone wanting to know, the super alloy 1/6 scales Batman figure featured a more armored suit comprising of at least 85% diecast metal alloy, more than 50 points of articulation, and features a detachable and posable fabric cape, grappling gun and batarang accessories, and magnetic dragon gargoyle display base. I don't know how much these are running. I haven't seen a price on them.
Now, see, this is the kind of, again, like I was saying earlier, this is the kind of Comic-Con exclusive that I think is perfect for a Comic-Con exclusive. It's cool.
Yes.
It's comic book based, obviously. But it's one of these things, like, if it's not part of another line, but, like, I mean, you know, if you bought it, you could kind of put it with your DC Universe stuff, you know, like in the background or whatever, and it wouldn't really look crazy out of place.
Right.
But if you don't get it, you don't feel that there's a hole in your collection. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a perfect kind of cool on its own complimentary piece. And I really, I mean, if I were going, this would be something I would pick up.
Yeah. I mean, it is a very cool figure. I don't know, man. Like, you know, Hot Toys is starting to do all of these, die cast figures now. Of course, they're doing Iron Man die cast stuff, and, you know, you're starting to get more and more figures with diecast, which is
probably because plastic is so expensive.
Well, but I mean, it's not going to matter in the long run, because then your figure ends up being right now, looking at the 1/6 scale super alloy Batman on an online retailer, it's in stock right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it says that's in stock, $269.99.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. And that's supposed to be a Comic-Con exclusive, and it's in stock right now. As is, I believe, well, the next one we're going to talk about is a pre-order, but they're also doing a Super Alloy Justice League Superman.
Yeah, New 52 Superman.
New 52 Superman, yep. Who, again, I don't know, I'm not a big fan of that costume set.
No, I'm not a big fan of the costume.
I mean, it's cool, but it's like, Batman, I can understand using, you know, die-cast parts, but Superman, really? Is there... I mean, I guess it's kind of cool for his armor, but...
It's just a gimmick.
You know, again, that one's... the Superman is $359.99.
Mm.
So, I mean, just for 1/6 scale figures, I mean, you're paying Hot Toys prices almost times two.
Yeah. Well...
And that's only because they're die-cast figures.
And they're Comic-Con, quote, exclusives, end quote.
Yeah, that's
true. So, I mean, there is that.
They're cool, but again, yeah, if I was going to Comic-Con and I was going just to buy something unique and exclusive, I would buy those.
Yeah, I mean, and that's my point, is if you're going, it's a cool thing to pick up while you're at Comic-Con and to bring home as a reminder of Comic-Con. It's not something to complete your collection. It's not plugging a hole in your collection. It's not going to blow a hole in your collection.
Right.
And those are the kind of exclusives that I hate. The Joe stuff the last couple of years has been, you know, like Zarana. I mean, that's a major character.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Sergeant Slaughter, you could kind of forgive. Jinx is another major character, and it's only because they're girls that they were released as Comic-Con exclusives.
Yep.
So, like, I hate stuff like that. You know, With the DC stuff, it was they were usually a little bit better because they went with stuff that you know like Lobo and Swamp Thing that,
yeah.
that couldn't get mass release.
Right, Wonder
you
Twins.
Know. The Wonder Twins was something like you know probably wouldn't sell very well at mass retail.
Right,
so.
Right.
A little more forgivable, but I hate something that's essential that gets released as a con exclusive.
Yeah, so cool stuff. Yep. Next thing on the list is Hasbro finally released some new press images for the upcoming G.I. Joe Retaliation 3.5 wave, which I think is that the wave that you pre-ordered.
Yeah.
And that's the wave everybody was waiting for because
yeah.
it's got
it's 12 individual
figures.
We've seen all these
figures. We saw them all from JoeCon, but we haven't seen actual.
Well, we've seen them from before JoeCon too. I think they were at Toy Fair.
Okay, we haven't actually seen press photos of them.
No, we haven't seen nice press photos.
Right, and packaged photos as well. But this this wave has Crimson Guard, Ultimate, Roblox, Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow, Cobra Commander, Firefly, and Flint, Cobra Combat Ninja, the Ultimate Duke, Budo Samurai Warrior, Data Viper, and Quinn.
Yep.
And I think that's pretty much the whole case allotment, isn't it? It's
uh-huh.
one of each.
No, it's
those
one
figures.
Of each. It's 12 figures, one of each. That's why everybody was waiting for the case to come up to pre-order.
Yeah.
You know, the Crimson Guardsman's really cool. He comes with extra little stickers to customize the patches and stuff on his uniform
that's
so you can do different
cool.
Divisions or whatever.
That's very cool.
I don't know military stuff.
Like,
most of these guys are, quote, ultimate versions. Like, it's... For the movie guys, it's like movie accurate versions.
Right.
For the comic based guys, it's just like this like 30th anniversary versions of like Cobra Commander.
Right.
Who comes with both heads, which is like that's never been done before.
And the fact that he's got a chrome.
Yeah.
Chrome faceplate.
I think he might have done a chrome faceplate once or twice before, but just
yeah.
the fact that he's got both heads.
Yes.
You know, Quinn obviously is a fan favorite everybody's been wanting forever.
Right.
Not the Data Viper, the other Viper is kind of neat because he's like, what's he called? Cobra Combat Ninja. Is cool because he's basically like the Cobra Soldier from the movie.
Right.
That's what he is. But he comes with extra gear that you can swap out and he can be the Blue Ninja. It's gear that makes him look almost exactly like the Blue Ninja from Larry Hama's current run on G.I. Joe.
That's cool.
Which is a neat little feature.
Right.
You know? So you like it's almost sad that he's only one per case because like that's one that really deserves army building. Like,
it's a huge troop builder.
Yeah, because he's like two different characters basically.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of neat.
It's a gorgeous case.
Like
it's just so cool.
Yeah, I mean all of the Ultimate figures look really cool except like, and they all come with a ton of stuff. Except
uh-huh.
for Snake Eyes, who comes with Timber, and that's about it.
Eh.
But, like, the Storm Shadow comes with a ton of stuff.
Yeah, and
all
it comes
of
with,
the...
I think, the jetpack. It's weird. He comes with the unmasked head, which I think is the movie actor head.
Yes.
And he comes with the jetpack from the first movie.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. The Cobra Commander, again, they're redoing that...
that little helicopter thing.
Yep. But I can't tell what else. He comes with a little knife that can go in a sheath, which is kind of neat. I don't know. Did the 25th, any of the 25th figures do that with the
knife? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know if they did or not. I never.
Especially the later ones.
Okay.
Like, that was really common.
And then I'm not sure what the blue pods are. Maybe power things to put in the back of the helicopter. Maybe little bombs.
Yeah, I'm trying to look.
I'm not sure what those are for, but they're, I mean, it's cool looking. I think out of all these, though, the Storm Shadow and the
I
amount
think those
of.
Those are actually shoulder pads.
Are
maybe.
They? The Storm Shadow and all the stuff that Storm Shadow comes with is really friggin' cool.
Well, and then Firefly comes with that little tiny scout his tank that they've always been teasing us with accessory.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just... It's a really well-done, cool wave.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, Budo is amazing. He's a beautiful sculpt.
Yeah.
Like I said, Quinn is a character that people have wanted for a really long time.
Long time.
Data Viper is really cool. I mean, they're all...
Oh, well, yeah, the Data Viper is the one that I looked at and was like, that's kind of cool looking.
Yeah, it's just a neat mix of movie and really a couple of core characters that are getting 30th anniversary updates. You know,
right.
They had 25th, you know, but now they're getting the new state-of-the-art updates.
Right.
And a couple of just, like new original, you know, the Data Viper's original.
Yeah.
And then Quinn's a fan favorite. And Budo's a fan favorite who got a kind of a new, unique look to him.
Right.
Yeah, it's a great case. I mean, I'm not sure if we're going to get the wave after it, which is basically just like a repack, like mostly repacks, but it's got a few new characters. I think it's got Movie Jinx and Blind Master and one other character. But it also like brings back Colton into the mix.
Oh,
and
yeah,
brings back
yeah.
Lady J into
yeah.
the mix. I don't know we're going to get that. They were non-committal at JoeCon.
Oh, nice.
But this is the case that everybody wanted.
Right.
That we're really excited about.
Exactly.
So.
That's cool. I'm glad that glad they're at least coming through for Joe fans on that. Thank God.
Yeah, well, they said. I mean, the point is, the movie stuff sold well enough that they gave the green light. I mean, the reason there was such a delay is they were waiting. This is what they said at JoeCon. They were. I'm sort of paraphrasing, but basically, what the impression was, they were waiting to see how the Joe stuff would sell.
Right.
And once it sold well enough, they basically gave the green light to produce this case.
Yeah.
I think it got kicked up in the rotation, too, which is cool.
That's cool.
Because I think that other wave that I just mentioned was supposed to come out first.
Right.
Because they always give this like a weird, it's like 3.5 and 2.9 and it's wave, you know, Epsilon 3. You know, it's always got this weird designations because they moved it around.
Right.
The wave with Blind Master, I think, was supposed to be wave 3, actually. So.
Always constantly kicking things around.
Yeah, Hasbro. Yeah. Hasbro.
For those Doctor Who fans out there, Big Chief, who is the company that's been doing all the 1/6 scale figures, they did
How many
Tenet.
Have they done? They did Tenet.
They did Tenet. They did Rose. They've done Matt Smith.
Have they done Eccleston?
I don't think they've done it. I don't think anyone's done Eccleston in that scale. I was thinking they did somebody else, too, other than Rose... 10 and 11.
Pond?
Yes, they did Amelia Pond. Well, they announced today that Tom Baker has signed off on his likeness, and he's agreed to allow them to release a 1/6 scale figure of his fourth Doctor, which is
cool.
One of the fan favorites.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
one of your favorite Doctors.
He is. But also, I think, especially in America, before the relaunch anyway, I think the relaunch has changed things. But before the relaunch, I mean, in America, he was Doctor Who.
Right.
I mean, that's what we all think of. If you ever see a Doctor Who joke on Futurama or Simpsons or probably Family Guy, it'll be the fourth Doctor.
Yep.
I mean, that's the cultural image of Doctor Who in the United States.
Yeah. So.
And I always want to like asterisk that because I know that over across the pond, you know, you had 5, 6, 7 and.
Right.
So.
Exactly. Kind of cool though.
I don't like the head sculpt. I'm surprised you signed off on that.
Well, I mean, this may be a prototype.
Hope so, because he looks stunned.
Yes,
it's like Davros is like, "No, Doctor, I am your father." He's like, "What?"
Fan favorite Time Lord's going to come with his trademark scarf and hat, his sonic screwdriver, as well as a selection of related accessories. Also come with a display base featuring an illuminating light-up function, revealing the Gallifreyan symbol for 4, which is kind of neat.
Yeah. That's kinda neat. I wonder how ensconced, like, did they just make that up? Or has there actually been, like, a Gallifreyan language around for a while?
I don't know.
That I don't know. That would be a little cheesy if it's like, yeah, let's make up a Gallifreyan language. It'd be cool.
There's also an ultra-limited signature edition that'll come with an autograph plaque that's hand-signed by Tom Baker with a plaque stand and a certificate of authenticity. The signature edition is limited to 300 worldwide and is the ultimate 50th anniversary collectible for the ultimate fan of Doctor Who. So the pre-order will be coming soon. So it's kind of neat. Looking back, I kind of wish that I would have got the Tenet and the Matt Smith because they were really cool looking figures.
I'm surprised you didn't get the Tenet because you wanted that so bad.
Yeah,
at the
I
time.
Did.
You were in pain.
Yeah, I did, but oh well. I didn't have the money at the time.
Oh well.
I know. Dang it. It's a cool looking figure though. I mean, yeah,
the head sculpt's a little weak, but I mean, the rest of it looks fantastic.
Yeah. So. And then, of course, for those of you who follow the Four Horsemen, their new website, Source Horsemen, went up, which is their forms are back up. Their store is redesigned and everything. So, but they announced that Outer Spaceman Wave 6 and the Deluxe Wave 2 is on its way next year. And, of course, Outer Spaceman Wave 6, the Infinity Edition went up for pre-sale.
Pre-order, yeah, pre-sale.
Yep. So... Let's see. There's two different sets of Comic-Con exclusive this year. The Alpha Phase Outer Spacemen are available for pre-order. Each set, each set that they're offering is $60. The first set includes the debut of the much-anticipated Deluxe Outer Spaceman Colossus Rex, who was one of the classic characters that they haven't got around to doing.
Yep.
The set also features two brand-new female Outer Spacemen designed by the original creator of the Outer Spacemen, Mel Bernkret. Two newcomers, Horoscope
and Ophermadam.
They're really cool looking.
They are amazingly
looking. They're really cool looking. Horoscope is very much a...
she's got like a Cthulhu squid head thing going on.
And Ophermadam is...
She's like she's like Metamorpho, where she's got like the twisty three multiple head thing.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. So they will each be molded in their own exclusive clear colors and will come with their own character-specific clear accessories. Now, those are the Comic-Con exclusives. The fully painted ones are the ones that are for pre-order. So if you just want to get your hands on them earlier.
No, I think the ones for pre-order are what they call the Infinity ones. They're the clear ones.
Are they?
Yes. Because it says on the website specifically, you know, these are not the painted ones are shown just because those are what we have the prototypes for.
Oh, okay. So those are coming then.
Yes.
I gotcha. The second set features, it says, one of the strangest outer spacemen. It's one of my favorite is Gamma X.
Really?
He's very much a robot, and I love the armor that he comes with that goes across his upper torso and his head. He's got the little rocket launcher on the head of the armor. I think it's a really cool looking figure. He's a robot, but he's kind of cool. And the fact that it comes with the first Earth-based outer spacemen who are also designed by Mel Burkrate, like Gamma X. These two are Terra Firma and Jack Asteroid. Very cool. I mean...
Well, you know, I suspect the reason they didn't do them back in the day is because, I mean, this line originally was like kind of intended to glom on to Major Matt Mason's success.
Yes.
So I think that's why they avoided Earth-based characters.
Yes,
initially.
And it was because Major Matt Mason didn't really have any aliens.
Yeah.
So they.
But these are cool. I mean, all of these look really cool.
I may end up, once they put the orders up for the painted ones, I may pre-order these. Plus, I've been looking and seeing a lot of the past sets, just the regular like painted versions of the past sets are still available. So
actually, I was surprised. I think after we talked to Dr. King, I hit the store Horseman store and was kind of looking around. And I was like, wow, because that was one of the reasons I never got in the line. Was I just figured this was the kind of thing that always sold out like super stupid quick. And it's just the clear ones that really kind of the variant ones that sell out. The regular ones you can still get.
Around. Yeah, so I may have to go on and just kind of slowly order the regular ones like one at a time because I'd like to have. I mean,
yeah, they're really cool.
I got the one and I'm like, well, they're really neat. And
yeah, they are.
You know, and
you actually got the one that I always really wanted, the Cyclops.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But he's clear, isn't he?
He's a clear version. But I know a couple weekends ago we talked about after talking to Dr. John Kent.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. You were close. Sorry.
I got Django on Jane on my mind.
Well, yeah, I know. And you're like, you're preoccupied looking at news over there too.
Yeah.
But I had gone on to the Glios website, glios.com, and ordered their drops that weekend, and then their store self-imploded thanks to PayPal. And well, they finally relaunched on Sunday. So I went back on and reordered three of the four figures because the fourth one they decided not to offer right now, but they're going to put one in each unique order, like one of those figures in each unique order to say to the fans, we're sorry, and then they're going to offer him up again. But
okay, good.
You won't know which one you're getting. They're either going to put a clear one or a color one in your case, and you won't know. So I went on and ordered the three other figures, like the re-release of the very first Glios figure and the two other new ones that I was like, oh, you know, and they're like $8 a piece, and then shipping was like $4. So I was like, that's fine. That's not that expensive at all. I was like,
it's actually very reasonable.
Yeah, I was like, I just want the figures. So, but yeah, I may have to go on to the Horseman store and pick these up because every time
they're,
I look,
they're neat.
They are
super
neat. They are very neat. And like I said, thanks to DOS, I went and ordered the Sailor Moon and Sailor Mercury. Also, that same day, I saw that Takara announced the masterpiece editions of two of my favorite Transformers of all time.
No, I honestly did not know that about you, but that's interesting.
Jazz, who is a Transformer that I don't have the Generation 1 release of, and that is my favorite Generation 1 toy that I've ever seen, and I've never found one in decent enough shape to buy, but that is one that I've always wanted, never had. And then they announced Bumblebee. They announced the Masterpiece Bumblebee, and that was the first Transformer I ever owned was Bumblebee. That was the first Transformer I was ever bought for me was a Bumblebee. And I was like, okay, I have to pre-order those. I'm like, I really want those. Considering that I'm buying Soundwave when he shows up at Toys R Us. Well, I'm watching ToysRUs.com hoping he shows up on there. But I'm like, well, I'm going to buy Soundwave. I might as well buy these two. You know, I don't care really about any of the other ones.
Well, and you've got a bunch of them anyway already.
True. I'm thinking about getting rid of my two Seekers, though. My Starscream and my...
Are you? Okay. We will talk.
Well, I mean, it's...
No. We will talk.
Okay, I was gonna say it's just.
I was like, ooh, okay. I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know that one could be pried from your hands.
You know what? I the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, I'm not gonna finish the Seekers off because I don't want to pay the $75 for the Toys R Us.
Yeah,
one.
I don't give a crap about the Seekers. I just want the main guy.
Yeah. But I was like, I don't really care that. I'm like, I've got Optimus. I've got Megatron. Megatron was always the one that I wanted.
Yeah, I would not get rid of that one at all because you're never getting that one back.
I've got Grimlock. I love Grimlock.
Oh, Grimlock's the only one I have.
Yeah, the only one I don't have that I wanted was Hot Rod Rodimus Prime.
Yeah.
And that was the one that I missed out, and I may end up picking up someday soon. I don't know. But I'm like, Soundwave's coming out. I want Soundwave. Like, I don't care about the new cars that are coming out. I'm like, I really don't care that much.
Yeah.
I'm like, when they announced Wheeljack and Bumblebee, I'm like, I love those two. I have to have those two.
Jazz and Bumblebee.
Or Jazz and Bumblebee. I'm sorry.
Yeah, your favorite.
Or, no, you know what? I'm getting myself mixed up. Wheeljack is the one they announced. That's my favorite Transformer. I'm sorry.
But before
the
show started, you were saying Jazz.
I know. I realize that. I'm an idiot. I'm a big dork.
I just went along with it because I looked at them and I was like, oh, okay.
I'm in a lot of pain, just like you are, and my head is confused.
It's
Wheeljack.
Now I gotta go double check on you.
It is Wheeljack.
You're just causing trouble on the show.
I know. It is Wheeljack. Wheeljack was one of my favorite.
I do hope that the final production Bumblebee is better looking than the art that they use.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Because that looks stupid.
You know, they use the.
I'm just saying. I hope the final production thing is better looking. Yeah. It looks dumb.
Yeah. So I don't know. They're not going to be out till next year, and they're both listed at $79.99. So I mean, second quarter.
That ain't
next
not
year,
bad.
No, so you know, I don't know. I'm curious to see what they're going to look like once we start to see. I'm sure Takara will eventually release prototype photos. They usually do, or somebody will find them and they'll sneak out. But yeah, Wheeljack was one of my favorite Transformers. I always loved.
I can tell.
I always loved the G1 design. I got confused. Shut your mouth. Gosh dang it. Dang it, Dave.
Oh, like I'm going to let that go.
Oh, crap. Well, I see how my night's going to go, ladies and gentlemen. Crap in a hand. So, yeah. Good toy news this week, though. Lots of stuff going on. As we head more and more, you know, as we head more and more closer, as we get closer to San Diego Comic-Con, the toy news kind of starts to spiral out of control. In a good way. And,
well, yeah, it's like the second half of Toy Fair. It's like the Toy Fair for the public.
Yes, exactly. Something I thought we'd talk about before we got into fan questions this week.
Oakley-doke.
Was something I saw Mike Lacy actually tweet, and it was actually linked from He-Man.org. It's a very interesting story from the Hollywood Reporter.
Okay, I do know this because someone sent me a link to this today.
Mattel fights He-Man comic book author over franchise rights. Sony is reportedly working on a movie reboot, which we've known for a long time. And Mattel is now suing a man who authored the early comic books with the pack-ins for the Mattel series.
Yeah.
Let's see. The toy maker has filed a lawsuit in California federal court that seeks a declaration of its rights. According to the complaint, Donald Glut, who was a writer of the Masters of Universe comics in the 80s, has recently come forward to assert that he created the characters and is entitled to copyright ownership. Mattel says that it's too late, that for more than three decades it's been acknowledged that Glut's contributions fell under the work-for-hire doctrine. If Mattel is correct that this was a work-for-hire under copyright law, that would mean that the company is deemed to be the author. The other possibility, though, is Glut's reported theory of ownership that he has licensed his work to Mattel, which would mean that it's subject to termination in 2016. So, of course, over the years, we've had some disputes. You know, Roger Sweet, who's one of the early Mattel lead toy designers, has taken some credit and all this stuff. The lawsuit states that Mattel around 1980, tasked its design department with creating a new boys' toys property, which we all know, and settled on a concept of a muscle-bound hero. Glut is acknowledged as having created the backstory for He-Man and other characters. Mattel says Glut did so as one of the independent contractors with instruction by the company on certain key elements. Of course, Glut's long worked as a TV writer and comic book writer.
He wrote the novelization for Empire Strikes Back.
Yep. And, of course, his profile on IMDb lists credits on shows such as Transformers and Spider-Man. But in 81, he wrote the four mini-comics, He-Man and the Power Sword, The Vengeance of Skeletor, Battle in the Clouds, and King of Castle Grayskull. Of course, that's the one thing that now he's like, oh, I don't know why he waited 30 years.
Well, that was one thing I was going to point out. Is it's weird that he's choosing now. As I mean, he must be anticipating that this movie is going to do well, because I mean, the time to strike would have been about 87 when this line was pulling down millions of dollars a year.
Yeah. Mattel now says it's in in its lawsuit that Gluck claims that his work on Masters of the Universe was not done as a work for hire, and that he owns an interest in the copyrights to his work. Gluck is reported to have filed a copyright registration on a treatment featuring the He-Man characters and is threatening to sue. Mattel says Glutz's claim is both baseless and stale. And of course, they point out to interviews that Glutz has given over the years that allegedly show that he has bided his time before asserting ownership theories. For example, one interview from 2001 had the writer saying he was only paid flat rate work for higher fees. The interview with Gluck continues, "My work on Masters of the Universe taught me one basic lesson. Don't create anything original, especially concepts that someone else will make millions of dollars from, unless you have a percentage of the profits or part ownership. It's a lesson I've managed to stick to since my days with He-Man and the gang."
Yeah, that seems a little bit damning, but go on.
Yeah, exactly. The whole situation is very, very, very interesting.
Yeah, I almost kind of wish we had waited for Dan to be on the show again, because I think his input would be, because from my perspective, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the series, the huge franchise,
right?
But it seems to me that those mini comics, especially the early mini comics, are like the least influential and important parts of the He-Man mythos that exist. I mean, they're like the weird little appendix.
Yeah.
On He-Man history, you know, where like Teela's the sorceress and there's this weird.
Yes.
It's like none of, like the minute the Filmation came along, that became basically the Bible.
Right, exactly.
For the main official world canon storyline. And everything since, even to some extent the movie, which is kind of, you know, but they've all sort of followed that basic premise where the mini comics, and again, it's just the first couple of mini comics. Are there weird little wisdom teeth?
And they're not necessarily even comics. They're almost like mini storybooks, because that's what they were. Whereas the later ones actually became comics. Yeah, but I mean, it's like a painting and a paragraph, a painting and a paragraph, a painting and a paragraph.
Yeah, and it's just like I don't know how much you can really claim that, you know, you can get from that. I mean, everything that they've done since diverges from the story that Glut seemed to have created.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, if somehow his claims managed to hold up in a court of law.
Well, here's what I was thinking is, I think the reason he chose now is because of the Siegel and Shuster lawsuit, where basically the court said, "Hey, so you signed the contract. That doesn't mean anything, because we feel bad for you."
Right.
"So now we're going to give you a cut of the thing."
Right. Or at least
give contracts don't mean anything if someone feels bad.
Right. Which is kind of, I mean, kind of ridiculous and kind of not. But what this that lawsuit, though, has been going on for
a long time. Decades. But they finally won it, because basically, you know, I mean, and I don't want to sound too callow, because obviously Siegel and Shuster got screwed by DC.
Oh yeah.
And it was really unconscionable what happened. But at the same time, when they created that character, it was the middle of the Depression.
Yeah.
And they were probably thrilled to get a check to buy food with.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the points that I made to the person I was talking to about this is, what about all the comics that they made that didn't sell, that bombed? You know, did they have to pay the company back for the printing costs?
Right.
So, exactly. You know, I mean, yes, they created something. They got a check. It went on to make $1 billion for DC. And DC treated them really badly.
Right.
All that sucks, but that doesn't mean that down the road you can just throw that contract
out. But here's the thing that I think ended up screwing Warner Brothers and DC was the fact that for decades now, they have put on everything Superman created by...
But that was to be nice!
Exactly. But in a court of law, I don't know, I don't think they had a jury, I think it was just a judge making that decision, but I'm sure a judge looks at that and goes, well, you're saying in all your books for the past, you know, 70-plus years that... this character was created by these two men, but you're not paying their estates the amount of royalties you should be paying them for creating this character. Even though they signed a contract signing their rights away, you're still saying to people, oh, well, they created it. Well, in that case, you should probably be paying these royalties to them, since you continue to put their name in front of the character.
Yeah, and that's why Superman is now 20 years old and doesn't have red underwear, and there is no Superboy. And
yeah, true.
But I mean, Superboy is now the clone and the black belt, but Superman as Superboy as a concept will never come back. I mean,
right.
Because that's one of the things that, that the estates got the rights to.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, all of the little details that the estates got the right to, you're not going to see anymore.
No. Surprising. I think one of the things that they got the rights to that we saw was Smallville.
Maybe. I don't know. I know that's one of the reasons that Ma and Pa Kent are going to be play a big role.
Right.
But, you know, it's a weird... It's interesting. Like, I didn't understand why Glut was filing the lawsuit, but it is interesting that if he's trying to do his own project, like, the first thing that came to mind was Never Say Never Again, the Bond film.
The Bond film, yeah.
Because the guy kind of had the rights to Thunderball, even though he wasn't Eon. You know, he wasn't one of the Broccolis. So he did his own little competing Bond film. I think it would actually be kind of interesting for him to try to, like, make his own little competing He-Man film. Although the thing is, it's not going to work because you need money to make a He-Man film.
Exactly. I don't know, dude. That whole thing is...
Yeah, like I said, I'd really like to have Dan's input on that because, I mean, he would have a better grasp of how important these mini-comics or mini-storybooks are to the overall mythology.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I know here in a couple weeks...
Yes, I know, but I'm just saying.
Let's see. I can actually tell you guys the date. July 9th is when both Dan and John Kent are going to be back on. So perhaps we'll bring that up in a couple weeks here.
Okay.
And we'll talk to them both and see what, because I'm sure John has a very interesting...
Yeah. I mean, he's actually going to have an interesting perspective from the other side.
Yeah, so that may be one of the major talking points is July 9th. Well, that week... Show's not going to be on July 9th, but that week, the week of July 9th,
yes.
that week's show will have myself, Dave, joined by Dan, Pixel Dan, and Dr. John Kent. So that's one of the things I wanted to bring up, too, is that if you guys want us to talk about certain topics when it comes to vintage toys...
So basically, we'll put another thing in the forums.
Yep.
A thread in the forums.
Yep. But you can put them on the forums, or you can email admin@toyworldorder.com.
Or you can put them in the forums so everybody could see them.
That too.
So that some certain jerk doesn't spring them on everybody at the last minute. Secret topic. Nonsense.
But yeah, so that should be a good show. So we'll bring that back up when they join us, and we'll kind of... talk on it and see what they're...
Fun drinking game. How many times will Dave get Dr. Kent's name wrong?
Yeah. So, Dr. Kant.
Kant!
Sad that we both had that same thought at the same time. Oh, good times head by all. Well, gang, let's segue into some Fizan questions and answer some Fizan questions.
Fan questions, Dave.
There's the first one comes for, I love his name, Ewoks for the win. Welcome to the forums,
indeed.
I love your name.
That is cool. I agree.
You need an avatar that just has a little Ewok holding a flag that says we're number one on it. That's what I want to see. Somebody make that for Ewoks for the win, because I want it. I don't care what Ewoks for the win wants it. I want it. Dang it. Anyway, newcomer Ewoks for the win says, "Hey, David Duvall, longtime listener, first time poster. When I was a young lad, one of my favorite kids shows was Eureka's Castle on Nickelodeon. For many years, I've been looking for a playset of the castle from the show, and I still can't find any evidence that it ever existed, but I remember it so clearly from when I was a kid. My question to you is, have you ever had this happen to you where you think a toy has existed, but when you go looking for it online, you can find no record of it? And if so, what was it? Thanks in advance, and keep up the good work."
Yes.
Go, Dave.
Ironically, this is something I've wanted to bring up a really long time.
Oh.
To ask the fans out there if they've ever heard of this. I had for years... I know I had it. That's what's maddening.
Right.
I think it was a Fisher-Price toy, and I think it was like for the adventure people, because it was articulated, like, you know, it had 4 points of articulation. It was a camel.
Huh.
But the sculpt was much, much more detailed than the other ones that came with the Safari set.
Right.
And it didn't come with the Safari set. It was I'm convinced it was part of a set that they sold at, like, Circus World.
Oh.
Of, like, all these different safari animals.
Right.
and I've never been able to find any trace of it. I'm almost positive it had a Fisher-Price copyright printed on it.
Right.
Like on the belly. And it was a camel. It had 4 points of articulation. It was 3¾ in scale. It had an articulated neck, I think. And the dog got a hold of it at one point and chewed it up, which is why I still don't have it. But I'm convinced that that thing existed. I've never been able to find it on eBay. I've never been able to find any evidence of a line like that anywhere. It had a really detailed sculpt. It had articulation. And in the back of my head, I'm convinced that it was part of like a big box set of like, you know, lion and tiger and gorilla and crocodile and camel. And it's just a toy thing that I know I had that camel, and I'm sure there were other toys. I'm like 70% sure it was Fisher Price.
Right.
But I've never seen any evidence of it ever again.
Wow.
Maddening.
I don't know if I really have a story of something I remember that I remember vividly and then looking it up, realizing maybe that doesn't exist because I can't find any record of it. Something that comes to mind kind of like that is the fact that the first time I had learned that this existed was you and I were at a Toy Man show, and there's a little booth where we usually buy stuff. Dave bought some Captain Power figures from there recently.
Oh, yeah. She's the one that cleaned out Pixel Dan, the last one.
Yep. Cleaned out all the Star Wars figures.
Yeah.
She had some Swamp Thing toys. Well, one of the things she had was the Swamp Trap playset, which is the large playset for Swamp Thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember seeing that when we were there, and I'm like, I didn't even know this existed. Like, you look in the Tomarts guide for Swamp Thing, and everything's in there, except I think they list the Swamp Trap playset, but I think it says unproduced. And I'm like, well, that's odd. But apparently the Swamp Trap playset is one of the
rarest.
Yeah,
but when did that line come out?
Late 80s, early 90s?
Because that's right about the time they were printing these things.
True, but I mean, I guess that makes sense because there's a second series, too, that I didn't realize existed until this year that has, like, climbing Swamp Thing and some other figures. And I was like, huh, well, the Swamp Trap, though, I was like, I didn't even know this existed. I'm like, I've never seen this before. This is pretty cool. And then you go to look it up, and I'm like, does no one realize this thing? Is it rare? What's going on? Because I bought it for $10.
Yeah.
And it was in the box. The box in beautiful shape. It's never been taken out. And I was like, it's $10. I'm going to buy it. And then you look on eBay these days, and now it's like $100, $150, some are $200, and you're like, holy crap.
Nice.
That was something I came across that I remember looking up and really not finding anything at the time on it, because I'm like, what? You know? Like, this is a cool playset. How did I not realize this ever existed until now? So that was one of those things.
I mean, it might be fairly obscure. Who knows?
True.
Apparently it is.
Yeah. John Solo says, hey, D&D, I wanted you guys to rank the kinds of toys you have from most passionate to least passionate. I would include action figures, vehicles, playsets, roleplay items, guns, swords, and masks, board games, plush toys, kids' books, and lunchboxes. I would assume that both of you like action figures the most, but Duvall has so many board games, so maybe not. What are your thoughts, Dave?
I mean, you know, it pretty much goes action figures, playsets, vehicles. Right. I mean, all the actual figure stuff.
Right.
Everything else is really very secondary to me. I mean, I have board games are very specific. Like, there are a handful of board games that mean a lot to me.
Right.
Lunch boxes are almost at the bottom.
I know somebody gave you an awesome Alien board game for Christmas one year.
They did.
Yeah.
And then they bought an awesome Bigfoot board game out from under me.
Ah.
And gave a cool Jurassic Park pop-up one to a nephew or something.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I did, didn't I? That's
yes,
right.
You did.
I'm mad, too. I should have kept that game.
Board games, it really is almost like the action figure stuff is up top, and then everything else is below. I mean, maybe role play items kind of in the middle.
I
don't collect a lot of them. They're usually scaled for kids.
Right.
I have a few things. I have a Han Solo blaster. I have a couple old lightsabers when Power of the Force 2 first came out.
Right.
It's just not very, you know, it's just not, I like, the action figures are what I collect, and everything else is secondary. So if I get a lunchbox, it's usually, like, displayed with the toys.
Right.
I don't have a lunchbox collection. I don't have a Pez collection.
Right.
Even stuff like Lego is, you know, usually secondary to what I collect.
Right.
So the role play stuff is everything that's not an action figure is very, very, very secondary.
I gotcha. I know for me, it would go action figures, play sets, board games, lunch boxes. Oh shoot. Role play items. Vehicles, because I just don't care that much about some vehicles. And then, yeah, everything else becomes, like, even the girl toys, to a certain extent, become secondary. Dave can tell you, and Dave can attest to this, that my collecting habits are very skewed. They're very strange.
They are. And they tend to run in streaks, I've noticed, too.
Right.
Like, you'll get fixated on something and be like, I'm all about board games right now.
Yes.
I'm all about stuffed kitty things right now. I'm all about storybooks right now.
Yes.
You know?
I don't know. It's just, I think that's the main part of...
I would actually add a category. It's not really a toy category, but, you know, we're sitting in the room for it, where I would put right behind action figures and their accessories, I would put art, posters and art.
Yeah, yeah.
That's been a big thing for me this last year.
Yeah, it has. You've been buying a lot of posters.
Movie posters, yeah. and pieces of, like, artwork.
Yeah.
Gilkleys or Gicklees or whatever they're called.
Yeah, Geesleys.
Yeah. Sure, them.
Yeah. I don't think either one of us said that right, but people know what we're talking about.
Yeah. And that's been a big thing. I probably because I have a house with walls.
Yeah, exactly.
That I can put stuff up on now.
Very true.
You know, I've been kind of going a little hog wild.
Well, yeah. I would put some of that up there too, but my wall space is so limited to a certain degree because of the way that my collection is set up that, and the fact that I also can't put anything upstairs. So,
yeah.
I've stopped buying movie posters because I have too many of them and not enough room to put them all up. So it's like, well, I'm not going to buy any more movie posters, so that's out of the question. I've kind of had to stop buying animation art, and I actually took down that whole, in my basement. I think it might have shown on some early videos that I did, like Toy Adventures with Duval and whatnot, but you actually can see the wall I'm talking about that has all my animation cells on it, had some artwork.
Yeah.
I took all that down yesterday, dusted everything, cleaned it all off, moved all the artwork out of there, and rearranged it so it's just animation cells, like, across that whole wall pretty much, with some space left that I can put some new animation cells in there. And that was like a 3-hour ordeal to clean all those off and then to figure out how to respace them and reorganize them so they made sense and I still had room to move them. And then I had to find room for the art. And that was a big deal, but
yeah, I would imagine.
So I've kind of had to stop buying pretty much all that, even though there's still some animation cells that I'm like, well, I might buy that one day. But yeah, I mean that's you know, action figures and playsets are my big two. So
yeah,
and I have some role playing stuff like Dave does. I have a
I forgot about that completely. I would probably put role playing games right after art.
Yeah,
because that's always been a big thing with me.
Yep. Dave's always buying old Dungeons & Dragons
stuff. Dungeons & Dragons, old Shadowrun.
Yep.
Odd
licensed, like Mayfair games and stuff.
Yeah, Twilight 2000 is another one that I really love. Just anything that I played or wanted to play. Rifts is one that I'll always pick up in source books for.
Ghostbusters.
I do have the Ghostbusters game.
Star Trek.
I do have the Star Trek games, yeah.
So, lots of good stuff. And Andy Mort finally says, hey, D&D, this question is probably geared more towards Dave, and it may encroach on some of the
upcoming reviews.
Thank you. But I'm interested to know what you both think. Now that the G.I. Joe Collectors Club has finished the first series of its figure subscription series, what are your feelings on it? The figures, the value for money, the way that they ran the service? Feel free to make comparisons to any other prominent toy subscriptions, and the second series is on the way. Subscribed, looks better, worse, or a fair continuation? And this is more Dave, because Dave ponied up the money for the subscription this year, and I know Transformer fans are just now starting to get their first subscription figures from that subscription, but I think the G.I. Joe ones were much more substantially better done because they are all packaged, whereas the Transformer ones just show up in a box and some foam.
Oh, wow.
So,
No, they were, like, super well packaged. I mean, there was, like, a box in a box. They were super protected.
Right.
Which is probably the highest praise they can get for that entire line is you are not going to get, like, my rocket firing Boba Fett's a smashed piece of trash.
Exactly.
And for $300 freaking dollars, you should not have. I think I wanted to start with, like, to compare it with another subscription toy line. I wonder what he could be talking about. they're there almost is no comparison. I was really trying to think of a good analogy.
Right.
And ironically, Masters kind of gave it to me, where Masters Classics is the toy line.
Right.
I mean, it is the big gun. It is the thing.
Right.
And then the G.I. Joe thing is kind of almost like the Club Eternia subscription, where it's filling these odd little slots and little characters that, you know.
Right.
But even then, it's an imperfect analogy because, you know, Eternia is very specific to, am I getting that right? Not Eternia, the Filmation one, the Filmation subline. It's very specific to Filmation.
Yes.
The G.I. Joe one is very, very scattershot. I almost call it like spackling because it's like some are vintage characters that didn't get made.
Right.
Some are new sculpt era characters that are getting a 25th style upgrade, and some are foreign variants.
Yeah.
And it's really random. Even the quality of the figures is very random. The two that everybody were most excited about, which were Big Boa and Cover Girl.
Right.
I found to be the two worst figures of the entire line.
Really?
Big Boa's head sculpt is terrible. It's very, very soft.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Very, very undetailed.
Well, that's sad.
And then Cover Girl is basically, I knew what they would do. I knew the body they'd use. They slapped on a jacket. They gave a new head. But then it was like her hair color is this bizarre orangish color that's like, it's like, cause the, you know, originally she had like brown. And then the movie, she was blonde, and it's like they're trying to come up with some weird compromise between the two. It looks bad. I think it looks bad. And those were the two biggest disappointments. I did not open any of them.
No.
I did. The only one that I bought an extra one of to open was Iron Claw, because that was the one figure that really sold me on the whole line, because I really wanted that figure.
Right.
I kind of want to get an extra Quarrel, too. She's the British recoloring of Scarlet, but she's a different character. I kind of like that one. I did order the second series. The second series has many more characters that I'm excited about.
Really?
And I will probably be opening the second series.
Awesome.
Because there's a couple of October Guard characters that you don't quite finish the October Guard in modern style, but you get a lot closer. It's got Keel Hall. It's got Tollbooth, who's kind of a personal favorite.
Right.
It's got Cesspool, who's another favorite of mine.
Oh.
There were just a lot of better character choices the second time around. Not better, but character choices that meant more to me personally.
Right.
The second time around.
Right.
And then that's the big thing is the mystery 13th figure. I personally was hugely disappointed with the character choice, but I understood why they did it. The reason the character was Blackout, who was a new sculpt era character.
Right.
Apparently he was in comics at that time. He was a big character and was very popular and does have a following.
Right.
You know, it's like a Beast Wars era character, you know, where like most of the hardcore fans don't like them, but you know, it's like Waspinator.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, where he comes from that era that a lot of people don't like, but he's a really key character.
Right.
He's also the brother of Barrel Roll, who was one of the characters in the subscription service.
I gotcha.
So you kind of go, oh, which by the way, prediction time, I'm going to say that Bombstrike, who is their sister, is going to be the mystery character from the next series.
Gotcha.
Because it just makes sense. But personally, I had no connection. You know, I've got the new sculpt era figure, and I was like, oh, really, this guy? But I understand. I did have a moment of empathy where I'm like, yeah, but if they picked Globulus or Pythona, or you know, a character that would have really excited me, Bongo the Balloon Bear,
right?
You know, which I would kill for. We're doing Quinn, but if they picked one of those characters, some you know, there would have been plenty of other people going, really,
right?
Globulus, really?
Yeah,
they went with that guy,
yeah?
Because they do that with every character choice they do like that. Because I know a lot of people didn't like Big Glob,
yeah,
and it's just like. So I understand that character had a following. It just personally was kind of a letdown. The ultimate question, is it worth it? No.
No,
not at all.
Not for that price.
I think you have to be a very special, I don't want to even say hardcore G.I. Joe fan, but you have to be a certain kind of G.I. Joe fan for it to even remotely be worth it. And sadly for me, I am one of those kind of fans. Where it's like, oh, a weird foreign variant. I like that. Oh, a new sculpt era character in 25th style. That's neat. Not for the mystery figure, but some of the other figures, that's neat. You know, so I kind of like it. I understand that it's not worth the money. If you're at all, unless you're really into it, it's not worth the money. No. If you're really into it, it's not really worth the money. It's overpriced.
Which is kind of sad, but, you know.
It is. You know, I'm not sitting here regretting. I'm not going to cancel my order. I'm really looking forward to a lot of the figures coming up next.
Right.
I hope that we can find a balance, maybe, if these things continue to be successful, which I kind of don't think they will be. But, you know, that maybe we could knock the price down a little bit.
Kind of sad that's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. I just think it's dry. I think the collector's club is painting itself into a corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that worries me. I think it's kind of regrettable, but it feels that way. And from what I understand with the Transformers situation, it's like 10 times worse.
Yeah.
They're vocal little suckers over there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first figure they got looks like he's pretty cool. But the fact that, like, I've seen everyone get them and they just come in a box. And the Transformer is protected, but it's just protected by foam. So there's no actual
box.
It's not a proper box built for it. It's just cardboard, shipper box, foam, Transformer instructions. That's it.
I almost would have preferred that for the G.I. Joes. Like, we got them like the fan club figure.
Yeah.
Where it's just bagged. I would have preferred that because then I would have been able to open them and not feel bad.
Yes, exactly.
Because as it is, it's like, man, I paid so much for these and they go for so much on the eBays.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't bring myself to open them. And I probably would have opened Big Boa, but I just was like, you know what? I'm so disappointed in this figure that I'm just going to leave it on the card.
I don't blame you.
Like I said, the only one I got a double of was Iron Claw because I really wanted to have one to open and play around with. And I kind of like an extra Quarrel. I think the second time around, I'm going to open a lot more of them.
Yeah.
Just because I really want them, and I was not paying an extra $300 for an extra subscription.
Right.
If you really love G.I. Joe, and you love all eras, and you like these weird little diversions, you know, and you got the money, go for it. Otherwise, you know, but it's not essential.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the one kind of unfortunate thing about it. Is that you do have a lot of these vintage characters in the assortment. I almost wish it was more obscure guys and, you know, new sculpt eras and foreign variants and weird, unique, you know, even made up new characters.
Right.
Because it is sort of like, well, there's a 25th style Keelhaul, you know, there's a 25th style Cesspool. These are, I don't like the way that the collector's club gets more and more, and I realize that they're doing it. It is almost kind of a service, and it would be stupid of them not to do it, because Hasbro's not going to make a Keelhaul.
Right.
Hasbro's not going to make a toll booth.
Right.
You know, so I understand why it's smart for them to snap these character choices up. But at the same time, if you're just kind of a casual, or not even casual, but you're a fan, but you're not a huge super fan. You know,
right.
You're not a crazy $300 blow on this subscription super fan. You know, it sucks. Because, you know, you want to have all the vintage characters in 25th style. I mean, it's like that with Masters. They want all the vintage characters in classic style.
Right.
It's like that with Star Wars. We want all the vintage characters in modern style. There's a weird thing about collectors that we want all the characters we grew up with, only different.
Yep.
And so that stinks that these certain characters are kind of held out of your reach because they're going to be, I mean, they're already pre-sold out on Big Bad.
Yeah.
Most of the vintage characters are sold out on pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, the Tiger Force Shipwreck. No, not sold out on pretty bad.
No, he's still available.
Yeah, he's still available.
Yeah. It's interesting.
So, yeah, I appreciate you asking. I hope that I covered all the bases.
I think you did.
Yeah.
I think so.
There probably will be reviews of the second series, just because, like I said, I do plan on opening more of them.
Yeah.
And depending on if a certain company gets around to shipping certain things within the near future, I would say within a week or two, there should be a pretty big G.I. Joe review coming along.
Pretty big. There you go, Andy Mort. Well, there you go, guys. That wraps up the fan questions. Let's take a listen to this week's one and only Adas Baron with thoughts with Adas Baron. Let's take a listen to Mr. Baron.
Welcome back. Honestly, I'm surprised you're still with us, but grateful nonetheless. With only one more big superhero movie left for the summer, The Wolverine, the toys are slowly trickling in. For more on the subject, we bring you once again Jif Bartolo, only because he wouldn't stop bothering us about it. Wow, Baron, you really know how to make a guy feel loved! Well, it's what I'm best at. You're so sweet! Can I get you anything? Do you want coffee? You seem like you may need it. No, just the report, please. Okay. As you all know, The Wolverine is the last of the comic book movie blockbusters for the summer, and it goes without saying there's a laundry list of merchandise that accompanies it. Being a Marvel property, Hasbro is the one behind it all, and just like their other movie toys of the past year and a half, it's absolute garbage! The only thing I've currently found on the pegs that's worth anything are the foam claws you can grip onto, protruding from between your fingers to give you that bona fide Logan look. Then there's the ubiquitous gauntlet with extending claws, which has already been released twice before, and each time the price seems to rise, even though the previous one goes on clearance. Then there's the large talking figure that gets released with every Marvel movie, which never sells. And finally, we have the 3 3/4-inch figures. Hasbro is following the same trend they did with the basic Iron Man 3 and Mattel's Dark Knight Rises figures by making them an almost bare-bones release, simplified card package, and incredibly limited articulation. Limited as in 5 points. Where Mattel only charged the consumer $6 for the lousy excuse for a toy, these Wolverine figures are going for 10. Are they out of their minds? Not only will collectors not pay this exorbitant amount, but what well-respecting parent would fork over that kind of money? It boggles my mind why Hasbro thinks this is a viable option. Have they not learned from the past mistakes? Every time they release 3 3/4-inch figures for the movie lines, usually it turns out to be crap, and it all sits on the pegs because no one wants it, and it never goes on clearance. Well, let me rephrase that. Toys R Us never puts it on clearance. That's why figures of 2 and 3 years ago are still hanging, don't move, and are in piles in the stockroom. So my inside source tells me. The only item set to be released that has anyone interested is the Wolverine-dedicated Marvel Legends wave, but I haven't seen it, and I'm sure it will go fast. I need a cigarette.
And apparently blood pressure meds, too. You definitely know how to give an enthused report. I haven't mentioned much on the Ninja Turtles in a while, but that's because I've been behind on catching up, and due to the fact that On Demand has been awfully lazy about putting up newer past episodes. It aired months ago, but the one I keep hearing about is the Rat King episode. Much to my shock, it had finally been uploaded to the Comcast server. I probably would have found it earlier if I could have only stopped watching Netflix for 1 second. If you don't already know by now, the Rat King has been radically redesigned, and you know what? I'm fine with it. It kind of reminds me of the new Batman-Superman redesign for the Scarecrow, which, incidentally, is also voiced by Jeffrey Combs. He gives a similar performance to his portrayal of Dr. Crane, the only main difference being he's less whispery this time around. But it works. I'm not complaining. If you're grossed out by sewer rats, I'd stay away from this episode because there are a lot. Not to mention the scene where the turtles are running away from a literal tidal wave of them. It caught me off guard. Not something you see in children's programming. Not only is it an episode that sets up this new villain, but develops the characters of our heroes in a half shell one step further. They have to defend themselves from a renegade Splinter, now under Rat King's influence. In many shows, the dilemma of fighting the Master is one of those subjects where the characters always seem to be at odds for episode upon episode, saving the eventual decision for the end of an arc or the series as a whole. I really respect that this was something they dealt with in just the span of one episode, choosing not to drag it on. I find it akin to making every villain sympathetic nowadays. Just make them evil because that's the way they are, and don't make things more complicated than they need to be. By simplifying the notion of taking on their teacher, it streamlines the story and keeps viewers watching. Great episode! Now, our next report. We go to our up-and-coming intern, Pounce Spacklesworth, on something that's been impressing him.
It's all yours. Pounce. Pounce, you're on.
Oh, thanks, Baron. With Hasbro and Mattel taking up the majority of the toy aisles over the past decade or so, there have been a handful of smaller companies to challenge them for market share. While not aimed at children, NECA has been the one toy company that seems to be growing and growing. Though they may offer a wide array of licenses, I've never owned any of their product. I almost pulled the trigger on their Evil Dead 2 line, but in the end I chose not to. I attribute this to a couple of reasons. I think the one notable exception to this was their Street Fighter line, but it always seemed that the articulation they packed into their figures was minimal. There are other exceptions, but the lack of posability is something I see more often than not. They always have great sculpts, and I'm sure this was chosen not to break it up and potentially ruin it. And the fact that their figures are primarily collector-oriented, so I assume they'd think we'll just put it on our shelves and forget about it. This may be a valid point, but it's not for me. Reason number one. Reason number two is the paint. As I mentioned, the sculpting is phenomenal, but when it comes to human characters, they either apply too much paint or too little. When they do too much, it's done in this flat, dry paint that comes off as very cakey. When they apply too little, it's in the skin tones. They cast it in a flesh-colored plastic and dry brush it to bring out the detail. My issue with this is the flesh-tone plastic used. It has this bizarre translucent quality, which makes it appear very waxy. I feel that if I were to pick one up, it would begin to melt in my hands. The prime example of this has to be the Rambo and Rocky lines. Then again, Stallone's face does look like he's melting. However, NECA has been packing much more articulation into their figures as of late. That and what I've seen from the new Aliens Commandos figures and a few others, the cakey quality has been dialed back, making for a more pleasing figure for me. NECA's always had my toy respect, but if they get a hold of a license I'm interested in, I think it's safe to say they'll have a spot on my shelf.
See, you did just fine. Nothing to worry about. Good reporting.
Phew. That's a relief.
You keep working on it, and we'll be glad to have you back anytime. That does it for things here in the studio. So until next week, stay living.
Yay! Thoughts with a Dutch Bear. He's a good kid.
He's a good lad.
I think we established that last week. Well, there you go, gang. That wraps up this week's episode of Dave and Deval's Toys and Collectibles. Make sure you check us out on the YouTubes. If you haven't subscribed to our channel over there, go to youtube.com/ToyWorldOrder and hit the subscribe button. That would help us out greatly. Make sure you check out our great sponsors, Crazy Kings of Toys at www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Lots of great stuff going on over there. Lots of new Monster High stuff has come in for them. So lots of great collectibles going on over there at the Crazy Kings. And also, make sure you check us out on the forums. If you're listening to this on iTunes, please join some of the new members on the forums. That would be great, like Ewoks for the Win and John Solo and all these guys that have joined up that finally have joined up to the forums. Robotron, 10 Pounds, Brick Bardo, all these great, great, great people who are joining up on the forums. Make sure you come out, join the forums. It's absolutely free. Just go to www.toyworldorder.com/forums. And sign up, and you'll be approved within 24 hours, and you'll be ready to go and start posting. So make sure you do that, and you can leave questions for us for the show on there as well. So make sure you do that. David, as we like to say...
Don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Toy Bar is closed for the week. We'll see you next Thursday.
The thoughts, opinions, and nerd rants are solely those of your hosts and do not represent those of our sponsors.